So you can, I will invite you, Isabel, so we can start our Tuesday class. So you can relax about in your mind for a while. So, dear friends, so today is August 31st, the last day of before we move to September, and day and, you know, year, month by month go by very fast. It's already almost come to the fall already, and slowly we are getting older, ancients. Yeah, if we realize that days pass by, month pass by, year pass by, and then we have to look at ourselves and how much stronger in our spiritual practice. We not only live with on the physical is just for this life. It's very important for many, because in Buddhism we believe in reincarnations. So it's very important to plant seeds for many lives to come. If we just live and focus on material, and we don't pay attention to our spiritual, and wait until the moment that we're on bed or, you know, we're ill and sick, and many, many things happening in our consciousness, and regret can come, because we say that, oh, you know, during my young age, my years of healthy, I never pay attention to my spiritual, and that how, and many people live in that way. So we just let our day, our month, our years fly by, and when we look back, we already 50, 40, 30 years old. I look back and I've been like 42 years passed by and see how much we grow, and ask ourselves a question, how much we grow in our spiritual, how much we have been growing spiritual, and that is our heritage. This is our luggage that we carry with us. That's what we carry with us. Everything you have will be left behind. If you have a beautiful wife, your beautiful wife will leave behind. You have a beautiful house will leave behind. Beautiful car. So that's why the Buddha said us, everything you treasures, you leave behind. And you look back in the history, and we see all that. Nobody, when they die, they carry anything with them. Only thing they can carry with them is their accents. Their accents. Wholesome accents or unwholesome accents. Wholesome accent in a kind of a seed potential. In the potential of a seed that you carry with them. You carry with you when you pass away. So we have to take care of our thoughts every day, every moment. We have to take care of that. normally we only take care of our body. It's good to take care of our body, but in a way you aware that this body is as a raft that carry you. The Buddha say that this body is a raft that carry you to the shore of peace and happiness. So if we live unmindfully, and our lives become very surface, we just let our day pass by, our months pass by, our years pass by. And one day we lay on bed with all kind of illness, and we think back, and we have nothing. You see, nothing you have. Nothing you have been prepared for your spiritual path. In that moment, you either want to get closer to God or closest to whoever you think that is, yes, your spiritual model. That's why before I came, I left for Estates Park for a few days with the monks and nuns. The night before that, I went to a hospital to visit one of our Marilyn's sister-in-law, and she was in her last stage of cancer. And she was lying on bed, and she said that I don't know when I'm going to die in any moment. So I was there, and I never know her, so I hold her hand for 15 minutes. I didn't say any word in that moment. I just let my mind in peace and my body in peace, so I can transmit some of my peaceful energy to her. And to say that at this moment my body is very hurt, very painful, very painful. And at that moment we are very painful, the body is deteriorating. So the body is very painful. And at that moment, if your body is so painful, if you don't, your mind, you don't prepare your mind, how can you manage to be calm? And I really understand that. She said, my body is very pain. And my mind is very emotional. See, your body is at pain and your mind is at emotional. Strong emotional. And she told me, I want to be close with God. If every day, if you never have a moment to contemplate the energy of love, the energy of care. So at that moment, I remove the barriers of religious. I just be there with her as a loving human. I don't have to be said to be a monk or to be a Christian monk or a Buddhist monk. That's all label. And when I at that hospital, so it's given me a lot of things to think about, to contemplate. It's given me some moment, strong awakening about the impermanence of life. And so we have to live our life in some kind of awareness, some kind of awakening. You have to work to be survived. That's why everybody has to work. But you have to know beside your working, there's something more. Beside working, we work for food, for something to for physical, but something beside that. We have to save each day sometime. You don't spend 24 hours just only for physical or for just for food. If we live in that way, our life not very much meaning. (Clears throat) So always put contemplate the change of life, the impermanence of life. Impermanence of life. You have to work for yourself, for your family, for your children. But each day, because that's your obligation, that's your responsibility. As a human, we have to fulfill our responsibility with each other, with the our children that we have produced. We have to give them a good life, a meaningful life, but have to give them something more than that, so that they can grow up. That's what prepare them for life, because in life there is a lot of challenge, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Always challenged. But if we just only provide us food and for them food, then when some storm of strong emotions come, then those food only help a little bit. But we have to have some things deeper than that to prepare for us to cope with that. So that I want to share with you the five obscurations in the practice and even in life. And here is just to recognize that in our life. And I think I have been shared with you, but I don't know, I'd have to test it today. So I didn't know the five. Listen, I don't know whether that's very wrong. Correct. Obscurations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't used this word for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, you can use obstacle. But it's the more accurate term in Buddhist, in the obscurations. So you know, I think I have shared with you with this, the five kind of obscurations. You remember? Oh, you already leave. Give it back to me. So some of this obscuration is neutral. Some of this, this can be a wholesome and can be unwholesome. How we use it. So, anybody know the first one? First obscuration. I think every Dharma talk we have mentioned this, but terminology here. Obscurations. In our practice, even in practice or in life, this is also an obscuration.
You can try. Thinking of doubt.
Doubt. One of them.
Oh yeah. I'll take it this one.
Oh. Okay. Doubt is one of them, but later on.
Okay.
First one is, Tay mentioned every time, even myself mentioned every time that we have, I give a talk. So if you don't know, I start with an A, so you see.
A. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Try to give you. In Buddhism, we say five kind of these, or you know. No, but in Buddhism, we use a lot of terminologies like five kind of these, four kind of these,
yes. Like that.
You're all mixed up. It's confusing.
So even like the 30s factors leading to enlightenment, all kind of like terminologies.
30s, yeah.
Attaching.
Yeah, see?
Of course.
Attachment. Or you can say attack. Yeah. Attack, sorry. <Yeah. laughs> You know, attachment. Attachment is the first obscurations that prevent us on the practice. We are attached to a lot of things, even our shoes, you know. small thing. We used it already. So if if you step out and someone take your shoes, you might have something going not very peaceful in you. You see, thus you see that how subtle our attachment is. You see, even a cup, you know, drinking cup. If someone give it to us and we have been drinking Jesus for a while, and someone took it away, and you was kind of not happy already. So this morning I cooked my oat milk, and that's the big container that I use to put oat milk in there, and so I put it on the refrigerator, so I know where it is when. This morning I come and I cook and I work until 10 and I come in to cook my breakfast and it disappeared. And I told myself, calm down. Because I'm hungry already. I say, oh, who put this away? Because I put it here every time. It got attached to that place. See? And I recognize where I told myself every time I miss something, I told myself, don't to angry too soon. And that's how we got attached, and then you know attached with angry. If something is not going accordingly, then we got not happy inside already. And I recognize that, so we better go around look. You know, I go around and look for 5 minutes, and then someone was hiding somewhere. See, I know it's somewhere. So I told myself not to be angry, not to be agitated. See, and then that's why something that we really is, we look at our, really look in ourselves, inside ourselves, deep in ourselves, we see that we have so attachments, attached so many things. But when the attachment is, if someone take it away from us, from ourselves, then we're not at peace with ourselves already. We don't lose ourselves already. You see how much easy we can lose ourselves. So what the practice is to recognize and calm down, you know, and just say, oh, I can find somewhere. That's how I told myself. Even that you know that yourself, you put that, somehow you put somewhere, and you couldn't find that, and you become very, you lost yourself, and you become something like edgy, not at ease with yourself already. You see how much easy we can lose ourselves in the things that we attach to. So that's why the Buddha said that attachment is one of the first obstacles for our mind. That's a very small thing. We already can lose ourselves, carry our way. And imagine that if we lost someone that we so much attached to, how much can we totally lost ourselves? And this morning I was meditating, and then after I finished my meditation, and then I was alone, I was in my room. So I was thinking, my mind was running, I say that, imagine that a couple, they live with that person for many, many years, and one day that person died. Just, and how much you feel empty, how much you feel lonely. Because you've been attached to that person. To that person. Even one night you couldn't stand to be missing him or her. So we attach so many things to our children, to our car, to our house, to our garden. Everything we do is look at that. Look at, just look deeply and honest with yourself. How much can you let go? How much can we let go? There's a story in India. I think you know this story. A monkey story. And in India, they used to catch the monkey by they drill the hole called coconut hole. And they put the foot inside, the small so the foot only can fit in. And if whenever the monkey cats try to sneak the whatever you put the hand in the fist is to cast to get the food. And whenever you get the food and get bigger, you know, see, you see, you hold like this and you just fit in. But when you get it's not big like this, you can pull it out. The monkey can pull the hand out of the coconut. And under that coconut already the rope already tied to the tree. And that's how they cast the monkey.
Because he can't let go.
He cannot let go. His food is in there. He tried to get the food in here and it's just, his hand is bigger, open out. Just like this, if I move my hand, I cannot pull out my hand. And you don't know, and the monkey don't know, the hunter already put the rope to the coconuts. That's how they catch the monkey. But that's how we caught ourselves in life. We hold so much, we put our hand like this, we hold. We cannot let go. And we got caught into that. We cannot let go. You see that? That's called attachment.
that's a really good story.
I read that story and said, yeah.
I understand very well.
And we never, that's how we get out caught. We get caught in life. We hold. We have a small car, we buy a big car, and we hold at this. And we just hold on. We never let it go. So in order to liberate yourself, you have to let go. And that is the image of the Buddha. You see, he let go of his palace. He let go of his wife. He let go of everything. Even his slipper. He just walked barefoot. You see, he let go of everything. So the more you let go, the more you improve. You progress in the practice. Let go here, that's very gross. But sorrow is in your thought, now the mind.
What is?
Your thoughts in your mind. You hold so much in your mind.
Let go of those two?
Even that. You have to let go. Let go. We have so many things we hold in our mind. We are caught in our mind. Right? You can see it. So when you meditate, it's calm. It pull you. Trying to catch you. My bad. So the more you're able to let go, materially, it's easy, but mentally, it's hard. If someone was talking at you, and they put the imprint, some kind of a mark in your consciousness, this is like a clue, you're never able to let it go. And that's how we get caught in life. How we get caught ourselves in life. And that's why we all have some suffering. Unseen, invisible. You cannot see. You get so much suffering because you got attached to that. Attached to that. So when I read the monkey story, I was laughing.
For myself.
How much I had got hold. But we don't know, we don't see that. We just try to grab it, to pull our hand and put our hand in and try to cast that. And then your hand get bigger. You cannot pull yourself out of the hole. You attach to that. You cannot let go the food that we have.
It also seems like sometimes we do know we have, and we just can't bring ourselves to let it go. You know, we just like hope that the hunter's not going to come, or something is forgotten about us, and that something's going to work out, and that coconut will deteriorate.
The hole can get bigger.
Right. Something will happen. It'll crack.
Yeah, we just hope for it to crack, but the coconut shell is so hard.
Oh boy.
When you were telling the story of the monkey, I thought of the world markets.
Mm-hmm.
How many
yes.
people
mm-hmm.
had their hand in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. In the coconut.
Yeah, just, yeah. You see, imagine how much is it caught? We get caught into that. The world and the people who are marketing. Even, you know, and you see that through advertisements. That's how we try to pull our hand in. And just get out, and it's very difficult. But some kind is invisible. You can see it, see, but your mind attached to that. And our world, that's how our world create, based on what attachment. That's how I create attachment. So that's why it's an obscuration to our mind. And we have, you have to be honest with yourself. How much, look deeply in your meditation, how much we have been attached to many two things in our life. In our life. From grass to sorrow, from big thing to small thing. Even have a big temple is all attachment, you know that big place. So you have to, because you have so much to have, you have put so much effort into that, you see. So we have to very be careful. Myself, I have to be careful too, you know. And you have to practice and have to let go. So I always tell myself, this place is for everybody. What is for me? One day I have to die, and this I cannot carry with me. So I have to constantly tell myself. So when you tell yourself, if somebody do something wrong, you don't have to be angry. If somebody do something not in accordance to what you want them to do, then you not become angry. So otherwise we become very easily to attach to the physical place like this. Mm. And we attach to our fame. It's a lot. It's fame. Attach to that. So we have so much fear into fame. You feel afraid someone. If you don't have ease and calmness in yourself, then if someone says something that you just accidentally to hear that, you already provoke fear in yourself. Yes. So the more we attach to even the smallest thing, even to enlighten, if you attach to your enlightenment, you're still on aspiration. If you attach to your peacefulness, it's still an aspiration. Even that's come to the sort of, to a sort of practice. So when, even though, the more you practice, you progress on the path, even your peacefulness, you have to let go. Come to that peacefulness, you have to let go. Even your calmness, you have to let it go. That way, some on the path of the 7209282810 on the path of a practice, even Arahat is they reach to the stage where is the very high concentrations, and they attach to that, and the Buddha have to come and knock and shake them and say, you have to let it go.
Can you say more about what that
Arahat
looks like? No, just that sort of letting go of your attachment to calmness and peacefulness. Mm-hmm. And
because you have to be, you still have an attached to that. I mean you still have some kind of hold on to that. For example, in your sitting meditation, and then you have a moment of bliss, for example. You try to hold on to that.
Okay.
And that is still an obscuration to the practice. You have to be let it naturally flow.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally flow. Later on I will share with you some four kind of nirvana. And then thus relate to that. So maybe next class we will study four kind of nirvana, and that we have to let them go too. Even anything that you hold on, even that very treasure, is still an obscuration. Because you move further on the path, the path has to be vast and wide open like the sky. It's like that. Tend to say something, Robert?
So is craving, number two?
Craving is also under that attachment. Mm. Attachment and craving. Even you craving for for enlightenment. The craving here is carry more sense of negative than craving. For example, craving for sensual pleasures, something like that. It's more negative. In Buddhism, we might call on aspirations. And that aspiration have to let go to in you when you go further on the path. Even you do the most beautiful work, you have to let it go. So that's why it's an open hand. Just my hand is like this. It's open. But I can hold something. If I put something here, I can hold it, but without grabbing it. But I was to put it down, it will fall.
I've heard people talk about double grasping.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you were describing trying to hold on to something positive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even the positive things. Right. But once you open it, I told you, when you open here, it's free to flow, but it's still on your hand. You still have it. You see, open hand like that. But when you hold it there, it's an obscuration. You can hold it here, but open. But you can hold it. The peacefulness, the calmness is still there for you. But you try to hold on.
Mm-hmm. So, it's just like in order to keep it,
mm-hmm.
you have to give it away. It's like knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In order to keep it, anything blissful, you have to share it, you have to give it away. Is it the same?
The more you give it away, the more it's be there for you. For mm-hmm. example, like my knowledge, my understanding, the more I share, the more it's getting deeper. But it's, I don't have to attach to that. And it's getting deeper, deeper. Because you see, it's have the spacelessness for it to be there. It's like that. So we could, sometimes we have to say, oh, you see, I have a, for example, you say, I have a lot of knowledge. I try to hold that knowledge. And the more you try to hold on to that, you attach to that, the more you imprison yourself, that knowledge. And it's die slowly. But the more you share, the more you give, the more your heart is open, the mind is open. It's like that. The more you let go, you see, the more you let go, the more freedom you are. You see, like that. You can share. See, like, for example, this play, the more we share, the more people come. The more, like, if you feel everybody come here, feel at home. And it's everybody's home, spiritual home and practice. And it's become everybody else, become us. Spaceless for everybody. So instead, I close at the door and say, "This is only me." You see, and nobody come. The space is still there, but because imprisoned by itself, an invisible fence. It's like that. The more we attach to that, and the more it's open, the more people come, the more peaceful energy. It's like that. So the more we hold on to our ideas, the more we hold on to our knowledge, the more we imprison ourselves. So knowledge in Buddhism, if we don't know them, we call also an obscurations. And that knowledge elevates our ego, because we hold on to that, making our ego bigger. It's like bloom. It's bloom. It's bloom and blow up big ego. So attachment is in Buddhism we're always talking about attachment. Even attached to this body. We can take care of this body, doesn't mean that we have to attach to this body. Right? So we have to be careful here, let go in a way. That doesn't mean that you have to attach to that and hold on to it for yourself. and you use them as a skillful means. And every, the Buddha say, everything in this life is a skillful means for us to improve our quality of peacefulness, tranquility. And you can see that everything is a skillful means here. Even this table is a skillful means for us to be put something down, to be steady. But we attach to that, and it can go back and haunt us. And that's why we are haunted by many things. We attach to that. For example, children. We have the obligations, the responsibility to care the children. In a way that we try to help them to see the path of life. That's our obligations to them. But then you have to realize that one day they have to fly. And we continue to attach to that, and you will suffer. And you will suffer. The more we attach to anything, the more suffer we are, the suffer we are. So we have to know how to use skillfully. To work skillfully is very important. So you can see yourself how much you attach to material things. Look deeply in your meditation, in your everyday life, and how much that provoke, this attachment provoke you to many others, fear, anger, disappointment, all kind of stuff. Yeah. For example, you have a car and one day the car is wearing out and it's got stuck. And you attach it and then you bruise a lot of fear for you. Because we attach to that. So attachment produces a lot of fear in ourselves. We attach to our children a lot and then something to happen to them. We fear. Arise right away. But doesn't mean that we don't have to take care of them. We have to take care of them in a way it's good. In a way it's good. So if something happens, you're able to come in up to see and embrace. So your attitudes and your thinking in what happened, then it's changed your way of viewing on the things that you attach. Understand? So when thing is there for you, use fully. To use well, but also at the same take care. But when one day is go, let it go. Because you know you be with them fully already. 100%. Then you don't become more. So attachment become leading to regret. You see? Regret. Guilt. It's leading to many things. For example, you attach to the one that you love, and one day either you no longer with them, maybe divorce, or he or she pass away, and you have either regret or guilt. You see? Regret that when he or she with you, you are not really, you love, but somehow that your love turn into prison, imprison him or him or her, and she or he couldn't breathe, suffocate, and he or she let it go, and one day then you become regret. You said, oh, when she was in my life and he was in my life, I couldn't let him, give him some freedom. And then he or she suffocate and then have to leave you. And you feel guilt in yourself. It's like that. So the second obscuration is what? Start with
permanence.
H.
H.
You know some, and this is good for.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Can you put the second letter?
Hint, hint.
Hey, haha. Hat? What hat?
No, no.
Hatred?
Yes, it's
hatred.
So strong. It's a strong word.
Hatred. Oh, a question.
That is a strong word.
Yeah, a strong one, yeah. And this is an aspiration. You see that humbleness. And we all have some kind of hatred in us. You see, this is leading to this. You see, attachment is not fulfilled, leading to hatred. It's leading to hatred. And all of this too, once it's a plan is seen in your mind, then it prevents, it's an obscuration for your mind to be peace. That's why it's an obscuration to meditation. And we hate many things. Sometimes we hate the people that are that we don't love, but even we hate the people that we love. Because that love, that your beloved one don't do what you want him or her to do, then you hate him or her. And that's happened to every one of us. Yeah. No exceptions. And this hatred is always day and night burner. It's like fire. The Buddha could say it's a fire. It's burner. It's burning our mind and our body. It's like a hot fire that's burning us. But we don't know. We don't know it's burning us. If we hate someone, if we see someone, and then your fire in you start. And this is in the world is a lot. You see, when you live in society, you see a lot. There's a lot of hate among people.
So my son was 3 years old, and he went to play with a neighbor, and he learned the word hate at three. And he came home, and he said, "Sister, I hate you."
See?
So to correct him, and you know, tell him, well, you know, you don't hate. You know, you can't say hate. Mm-hmm. You like your sister. So he would say the word like in such a hateful way. You know, he say, if he's upset, he'll go, "I like you." He never used the word hate anymore, but he still meant it like, "I like you." You know, it just has to make me laugh because, I mean, it's not lighthearted.
Yes.
But when a 3 year old.
Is it intention?
When a 3 year old is saying, you know, learn the word hate and I hate you, you know, it's like, well, can make you think.
You see, as a child, we already learn how to hate. You see how much we've been, how much we've been watered, the seeds of hatred in us. If we are lucky, we have, you know, good parents and teach us how to love as a child. But if we don't lucky, we don't have parents that show us, water us this kind of sea. And society always, a lot of things teach us to hate. And we've been watered this many, many times in a day. The sea of hatred. And imagine that if we have that, a lot of seeds of hatred in us, how can we be peaceful with ourselves? How can we be peaceful with ourselves?
Today, when I was going down Deer Creek Canyon Road, they had the traffic stopped, and right behind me, a long ways back, this big pickup truck stopped. And he's talking to the flag guy. So the motorcycle comes, And he goes, this guy's stuck. So he goes around and gets behind me. So the truck comes over, and they got into a fight because you were supposed to stay behind me.
You see? Yes.
Yeah, I saw both of those just this afternoon.
Hate. And that's why we have a lot of that. Yeah, when I drove up here, you know, on 285, and now they are preparing the road, and then one lane closed, you know, slowly, and the other car tried to pass, and sometimes I saw they stick out the middle finger. Because the other guy, you know, this lane already closed, and people was lined up, you know, long like that, and the car tried, somehow the guy was hurry, he tried to sneak on this the closed lane and tried to, you know, all move up ahead, and so many people angry, and you can see you pass by, and you can see many middle fingers stick out. You see that every day we being watered by that, even on the road that we're driving.
Yeah,
we're supposed to drive peacefully, but the whole time we was waiting, and we were so hatred, we were so angry with the environment and with the people and with everybody. And just imagine, they say, oh, we should send love to this guy, work on the road for us to be safety for the winter to come. And instead of, we say we generate the hatred energy in us, the aggression energy in us. Yeah. Robert, do you want to say something?
It's interesting because on the roads, you can't go any faster anyhow. I mean, if you figure from point A to point B, and how much time you save, it doesn't even equate. So it's like, it's just this idea that we're programmed to, to put out more, always being in a hurry, getting everything done. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't serve
us. See, so when you practice, look like, oh, this is time for me to practice. Sit and breathe. You know, sit and breathe. What can you do, you know? Everybody was on the same path. And we see how much that we've been hurting ourselves. Mm. How much that we create suffering for ourselves, but we don't know. We're so ignorant on that path there. And that moment, say, everybody is on the same path, we should be waiting peacefully, you know, and yell for, I mean, you know, if the light is wrong, just wait, everybody the same boat, on the same boat. So if we know how to practice, and that is the time for us to practice, to say, oh, instead of, I have to be hurrying home, so why don't I just, you know, I couldn't do anything. So this is the only thing, is to be practiced, to be and contemplate. If we're able to, how much peaceful can we bring to ourselves? So I was on the road, I was every time I contemplate that. You know? If you had practice. So sometimes we was hurry, if I was to hurry, I say, oh, I better go home. But back and do my meditation on time. I say, why don't I meditate on the road? You know? Yeah. I tell myself that, you know? So it's much better. You want to say something, Sage?
No, I was just thinking that, you know, we were talking earlier on today, I had a traumatic experience, and my friends were really upset with me because I didn't have that hatred that they wanted me to have for my ex-husband. And I thought something was wrong with me, that why couldn't I hate that what was wrong with me, what was wrong with mine, that I was sick because I couldn't hate. And instead, what I was saying is, you know, I've learned to say, thank you, God, for the gift, and try to look for the lesson that I learned during that relationship or during the time I was with him. And I even call my ex-husband and go, hey, I just wanted to say thank you for the lessons I have learned. I really appreciate everything that you have done for me, and ended the relationship. And they were all upset with me for months. And I honestly thought that something was really wrong with me. I know. I was raised, mm-hmm. you know, but
yes.
it was like, well, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I have that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
see?
Now it's been raised to me, so I'm okay. Thank you.
I was just thinking, in India, riding the trains in general admission, and how one really has to be in a deep meditation because you cannot move.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It is hot.
Uh-huh.
It can be many days.
Yes.
You have to have a bag of tools for meditation because, you know, if not, you'll have a very miserable time.
Yeah, the Indian people, you know, I went there last 2009. And you can go to the train station, you see people lie there like fish waiting for the train. And I think they are very patient.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you know, what can you do? You know, but sometimes life is like that. So we have to have some tools to work with ourselves in that case. You know? If we angry, we'll kill ourselves. And we don't know that. And that's how we kill ourselves every day.
Mm.
With this hatred, with the aggression. And we don't know. And that's why the Buddha called ignorance. We all self-ignorance on that. That's why the people say ignorance. Jill?
So, I've been, I've changed jobs recently, and within the same company,
mm-hmm.
and because I had an attachment to an outcome with my boss,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I gave it a year and things just weren't going the way I wanted them to, and hatred's a strong word, but I've been very, very frustrated with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've changed jobs, I've noticed that I still have kind of this residual as I drive to work in the morning. The closer I get to work, the more tense I get.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I start thinking about this person that I don't even deal with anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That I don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've... So for me, what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to make it closer to work before this starts setting in. But when I get out of my car and I'm just fuming and I walk up to my desk, and by the time I sit down, I'm fine because I'm in a completely different desk than I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just trying to figure out what I can do to get over this, to let it go, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And...
It's hard, because you've been working for a long time, you know, you've been working for that job. It's hard, but slowly you have to contemplate on everything is impermanence, everything is change,
mm-hmm.
even ourselves, even our mental change. We have to realize that change in life, and slowly I say that in order for me to be peaceful, I have to let it go. So whether, you know, you tell yourself whether you want to suffering or whether you want to be pure peaceful. And you say that, oh, I feel I need peacefulness for myself. You say that if I need that, then I should let this mentality go. Right? But it's hard, but it's time. And it's some, you have to look deeply and see what is the cause of that, and what is the cause of your suffering. So you have to put on a balance and see how much peaceful you need. Why ask yourself, why do I do this to make myself suffering? And when you ask that question, you will find a lot of insight. And we have done many stupid things and have been to kill ourselves and to take our peacefulness away. And we are the creator of that. So the Buddha said that we are the creator of our own suffering. You see that? Maureen?
Sometimes I find, part of this is experience and part of this is question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in a situation like you just described, Jill? Sometimes I look underneath and find out I'm not really mad at that person. But what I'm experiencing is the frustration of some kind of block that might have happened 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. So there's lots of times there's something underneath, and this is a symbol. Could be something else going on. And on the retreat, Sister Dee talked about, I think she was talking about ancestor seeds too.
Mm. Yeah. Because
you can carry,
mm-hmm.
I can be carrying my father's anger as well as my own. Or I adopt, his anger becomes mine, and even though he's died, his anger can be alive in me. So when it comes up, I have to look, and really have to look a long time. And not say, well, I won't be angry and push it away and need to look at it. And say, well, where did it come from? And what is it about? And where are the seeds? And I do find that difficult. Or challenging.
Yeah, life is challenging for us, but doesn't mean that we are at that end. No, we have to turn all those challenges around to become something beautiful, something fresh for us. Challenging is make us to grow. If we know, is life without challenges, then we cannot grow. But we have to know how. That's the things. And the seeds that come from our ancestors, from our parents, from the environment, you know, the environment that you worked over, plant the seeds in our consciousness, the seed of hatred. You see, for example, on the road, that is the environment that plant the seeds in us. So there's many multi factors here, not just only one factor. But if we're careful, then we don't create our own hatreds. But a lot of time we create our own hatreds, aggressions. A lot of time. So that's why once the mind, you control, you're able to manage your mind, then you're able to generate positive, wholesome seeds. So many attachment is we generate for ourselves. For example, we don't have a car. And we buy a car now, you become a victim of the car now. Do you see that? For example, you don't have a beautiful clothes, but you buy it and then you become attachment. And you create for yourself. You see? So a lot of obstacles we have been created for ourselves, but we don't know. So then once we create for ourselves, and then we one is not in accordance to our wishes, I want it, and we external we blame outside. See that? They say that the hatred come outside, but actually it's in you. You generate that, you create that. But now you external, and then you become, we blame the external environment. The Buddha is very skillful. He say, come back, go back. See who create for yourself. So that's why enlightenment is possible. If we're able to come back and untie all this for ourselves, so nobody can do that for you but except you. I can do it for you, but I can tell you, help you out. I hold your hand. I say, ow, ow. I say, no, no.
Cookie just said,
monkey just said, oh, you know, his mom or his dad trying to pull him out. He said, no, no, I have, you know, one hand is, you know, somebody pulling you out, but on one hand you just trying to hold on. It's like a baby monkey. You know, but both the mom and dad actually said, that's his trap, don't go. And I said, no, I have to get this food. It's ourselves like that too. So that's what we all like, have some resistance in ourselves. You know, the mind of enlightenment say, go, go, you know. But the mind of attachment say, I have to hold on to this. Otherwise, I got lost. Well, I have nothing to hold on. So we always fight internally. Resistant. Internal is resistant in us. That's why we got sick easily. Easily got sick. Because of the resistance inside of us. You know. So every day you look at this and see at yourself, who are creating this for me? I say, who creating this? Ask yourself that question. And when you're able to ask yourself, with a calm mind, you'll see. I say, aha! Moment, aha. I create for myself.
Yeah.
When I work, I have a lot of. When I work, but I see these kind of things. Sometimes I'm very workaholic. I work. I have to finish the work. But I look back and say, aha, my attachment. So when that moment aha come, you find a way out. Find a way out. So when something happens, don't blame externally. Look. Take a moment and look. We are the blamer. I call blamer. We blame a lot of things. Condemner. So if something is not going to in accordance to what you want, just don't give right to any, give rise to any energy to this right away. Just take a moment. But I've been practicing that, you know, something happened, something that I have been done is missing. So I just say, oh, take a look. Yeah. So you don't jump into reaction right away. Because you jump into reaction, you create some invisible seeds already. And that will be, that invisible seed will grow when have a chance. Conditions is right. So if something happened not in accordance to your attachment, in your hatred, just slow down. I don't say that stop, but slow down. Slow down a moment. And that's the practice. Lisa?
It reminds me of this song that was taught to us at the retreat, the Are You Sure?
Mm-hmm.
Which, so, and it gets stuck in your head, so it's actually a really good song to learn. Maybe we can sing it at some point.
Okay, we have to, you have the word, the
remedy? It's very short.
Short, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you can three change lines. It to, am I sure? I figured out,
okay,
are we sure?
So you can you remember it?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it now?
So it's, you sure, it's, yeah. So maybe we can do it, am I sure? It's am I sure, sure. Am I sure, am I sure, three times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, am I really sure, three times. And then it's, let me check again.
Or
Ty says check
again.
Or let me check again if you don't want to attach to that. So
okay. We sing that song and we will stop here.
All right. Okay, so you guys who heard it. Am I sure? Am I sure? Am I sure? Am I really sure? Am I really sure? Am I really sure?
Ty says check again.
So that's it.
Oh, that's short song.
That's
a practice.
Sister Morning Light got it, kept getting it stuck in her head, and
mm-hmm.
the kids did too. So.
Mm-hmm. So whenever these energies that arise in you, sing that song. Am I sure? Am I sure? Am I sure? I'm really sure. Am I really sure? Am I really sure? Tay check, Tay say check again. So today we learned the two aspirations for our practice is attachment and hatred. So the suggestion I have for the practice is whenever these energies arise in you, just slow down. Just slow down, and you will see. Don't act on that right away. If you act on that energy right, you create a lot of destruction for yourself. And then we become the owner of that destruction. If something that in your house, if it's something that you really attached to, if it's missing, don't ever give rise to any unwholesome intense thought right away. but say that I better check, look around. And that's the habit. The habit that if something is missing, if we attach to that, and you constantly, right away, we give to that, rise to that energy either aggression or energy of hatred, that someone done this to me, or something like that. So don't be self-creator of your hatred and your attachment. So we will stop here today, and we will do our... Is it good to do some walking meditation? Mm. Yeah, so do some short walking meditations. I see some deer already waiting for us in the back. And then we will come back and do our sitting. I think slowly I would like to have us to sit a little bit longer. And I think sitting is very important. It's a good preparation for many things. And so thank you for everybody for your deep listening and from your sharings, engagements. So we will stop here. So I will invite Twisa Labelle to end this Dharma sharing.